Homily for Christ the King Sunday, November 20th, 2022, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks. Earlier this year, after over 70 years on the throne, Queen Elizabeth II passed away. Very few people in the British Commonwealth remember any other monarch before her. People from all over England and elsewhere came out in droves to pay their requests, and her funeral contained the kind of pomp and musical and visual pageantry that no other nation can muster quite so elaborately. For good reason, commentators admired her stoicism, patriotic devotion, and authentic faith in Christ, which remained steadfast while so many of her subjects had renounced theirs. We know, however, that the picture is far more complex than that. Embedded in the legacy of an empire, as powerful as Great Britain's had been at its height, are episodes of mistreatment and exploitation of native peoples around the globe. It's not my purpose here and now to litigate any of that, except to remind us that fallen human creatures make mistakes, or worse, intentionally behave maliciously toward their fellow man. No matter how enlightened we become in certain areas, the fact remains that we need a savior, and we always will. Here in America, especially, mention the word king, and all sorts of baggage comes along with that. None of us were alive when the Revolutionary War was fought on this continent's soil, but the act of declaring and winning independence from King George III of England is an undeniable part of our story. Maybe the king was mad, as many historians have suggested, but our desire to govern ourselves prevailed and has only become more entrenched. We want no part of a monarch, either across the nation or here in our midst, deciding things that we wish to decide for ourselves. The reason why I used the term baggage a moment ago when speaking of kings, is that history is filled with examples of royalty who were tyrants or imbeciles. Consider Europe during the Middle Ages. A great many wars were fought there. I wonder how often people asked, "Is there any other reason our opponent is our enemy besides that our king has said so? Do their people really want to damage our way of life? Do they even know who we are or care about us?" These are the kinds of things we have to wade through as we celebrate the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. What kind of king is Jesus? And why is his kingship necessary in our own lives? Early in its history, the nation of Israel strongly resisted the idea of an earthly king. God was their one true king. After the deaths of Moses and Joshua, a series of people called judges provided military and political leadership to varying levels of success. The torment of invasions and raids from neighboring countries, such as the Philistines, drove the Israelites to scrap their present system. "If we had a king like other nations did," they reasoned, "we could win these battles and secure our future." The prophet Samuel pushed back against their request, reminding them that life under a king wasn't all sunshine and roses. The monarch could oppressively demand certain things from their families and property that they would rather not surrender. But when the people persisted, God directed Samuel to anoint a man named Saul as their first king. For all of his physical traits and skills, Saul failed to be completely obedient to God's instructions regarding dealing with conquered foes on the battlefield. Eventually, God withdrew his endorsement of Saul and told Samuel to anoint another king to succeed him. The problem was that Saul refused to relinquish his rule. You had this confusing setting of the former king hanging around and rallying troops loyal to his cause, while the rightful king, young David, son of Jesse of Bethlehem, tried serving the Lord and steering clear of the unstable Saul's wrath. After Saul died in battle defending Israel, the elders, as we heard in today's first reading, sought to make official David's position as their king. David is a complicated figure from salvation history, but he deserves credit for the extent to which he showed piety and devotion to God. His rule ushered in a golden age, marked by the eventual construction of the temple, the elevation of the worship of God, and peace on Israel's borders. The house or dynasty of David's reign came to its completion with Jesus, honored by the title Son of David and our King par excellence. Now there are plenty of scenes one could use from the life of Christ for today's celebration. We could recall his entrance into the holy city on Palm Sunday, or his appearance to the apostles after rising from the dead. For that matter, there's even a scene from the Gospel of John that you may remember after our Lord multiplied the loaves and fishes, in which the adoring crowd wanted to carry him into Jerusalem to declare him king. But then he slipped away from them and went to a private place to pray. But we heard none of those today. Instead, we are presented with the scene of Calvary. Our Lord is bloodied, beaten, and crucified. To his detractors, he looks like a doomed and defeated man. And yet today's Mass shows us that the Lord's holy cross is the most august throne he ever occupies on this earth, and the branches of thorns woven together were his truest crown. The cross was Christ's altar of sacrifice, and from it was paid the price of our salvation. The Son of God, St. Augustine tells us, received from us the ability to die, so that we could receive from him the ability to live forever. Pontius Pilate ordered that a sign be attached to the Lord's cross, and the Latin inscription on it read, Jesu Nazareum Rex Iudorem, abbreviated to the letters I-N-R-I, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. His enemies vehemently objected to the sign because it implied that they agreed with this title. For his part, Jesus had told Pilate that very morning that his kingdom was not of this world, or else the hosts of heaven would be fighting to deliver him. But Jesus showed himself the King of Mercy in forgiving the criminal at his side who confessed his guilt and begged for the gift God alone can give. Is there any more joyous declaration in the history of the world than those words of Christ, "This day you will be with me in paradise"? St. Cyril of Jerusalem points out that after an hour's faith and coming to repentance, the good thief was saved. Why then could Jesus not do for any one of us what Jesus did for him? Why do we have this solemnity today of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe? Officially, this celebration dates back to Pope Pius XI about 100 years ago. He directed the church to devote the final Sunday of ordinary time to honoring Christ the King, largely in response to the growing secularism and ultranationalism in the world. His reasoning was that political turf battles ought never to stand in the way of the lasting relationship Christians have as brothers and sisters in Christ. The world's empires come and go, but the reign of Jesus is different. St. Paul reminded us of this in today's second reading. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures. In him all things hold together. Unique in all of human history, Jesus is the divine Son of God, yet at the same time possessing a human nature. No earthly aspiration apart from him will satisfy us or take his place. Apart from today's historical origins, the Church reminds us today that it's up to each of us to decide if Christ truly reigns in our lives. He already is a king, but will his kingdom reign through you? If you choose to act in the opposite way of the teachings of Jesus, it doesn't mean that no one or nothing else is in charge of your life. If you follow your every whim, you're going to feel fancy free for a while, but you won't really be free. Someone or something will be in charge of you. That's one of the devil's dirty little secrets that he'd like to keep from us. Even 1 minute is too much time spent under his sway. The reign of Christ takes charge of our lives, not so much to hem them in, as to lead them to broader horizons. In Christ, we can become more, do more, and love better. Most importantly, only in Christ is the burden of sin thrown off our shoulders, and the gifts of his grace offered to us in his church. Doesn't that make the trivial things in life seem very small by comparison? Amen.